Tomorrow is a day that a large percentage of America ceases to work. Memorial Day. And we do this for the purpose of remembering. The purpose of remembering the soldiers who have fallen, securing and protecting our freedom. Have given their lives for this nation, and so we honor and we remember. You know, we are a free people in America here. We have freedom of speech. We can say the things that we want to say. We have freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, which we're doing here this morning, the freedom to keep and to bear arms, the freedom to work wherever we want, the freedom to live wherever we want, and the freedom to do what we want within limitations of that which is moral. You know, freedom is a gift. It's a gift that I have been given, and I have done nothing to receive it. It's been handed to me. It's been handed to us from our forefathers, from generation to generation, and it's a gift that many throughout the generations have stepped up and fought to maintain, to protect. And for those who have given their life on behalf of freedom, we owe a debt that we could not possibly begin to repay to them. You know, what could we give to offer? There are voices that know what it is like to not have freedom. There are voices who have been in slavery. I've never known what it's like to not have freedom. You know, so consequently, it might be easy to take it for granted, to just think this is the way life is. Yet, but one voice from the 1800s who did not know what it was like to be free is Harriet Tubman. Maybe some of you know her from history. She was born into a life of slavery, and she was beaten by various owners as a child until she finally escaped into freedom. And with her newfound freedom that she came into when she escaped, she took it upon herself to do various missions in the Underground Railroad, 13 of them, to free many other slaves. She is quoted by saying, "I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had the right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other." Of course, these words echo the words of Patrick Henry back in 1775, right before we fought the Revolution to become an independent nation, when he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." You know, slavery is so awful, and freedom is so wonderful, so sweet, that many have determined that their very life is worth giving to become free. And if I can't be free, then I don't want to be alive. Another slave, Harriet Jacobs, said a very similar thing: death is better than slavery. So the title of my message this morning is, it's a question. It's a question that I'm asking myself. It's a question that I want to ask you as well. The question is, am I a slave or am I free? And I want to ask this question not in the physical realm that we live in, because all of us do have freedom in this country. I want to ask this question in the spiritual realm. You know, you could be a free person living in a free country, yet still be a slave, bound in shackles, unable to break free because of a spiritual bondage that has a hold on your life. Our key verse this morning comes out of Galatians 5, If you have a Bible that's provided for you in the chair, you can find it by turning to page 825, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And this morning, we're going to be looking at sections from the whole of Galatians, but this verse is going to kind of frame for us the morning. I'll read it aloud, and you might want to have your Bibles open because we're going to go to several other verses in Galatians, so this one is provided for us on the slide. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This verse has a fact, and this verse has a command with a warning. What's the fact? Somebody shout it out. Yeah, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom is something that is important to God. You know, if you think about the beginning of creation, when God created the world, he created Adam and Eve. What did he say to them? He said, you are free to do whatever you want here in this garden. You can name all the animals, right? You know, find an animal and name it whatever you want. You're free to name the animals. You can go around to the garden. You can eat from whatever you want. By the way, there's this one tree that I don't want you to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that. But even in that command, there was freedom that God gave Adam and Eve that they could choose to disobey, which they did. So freedom is something that is very important to God. And freedom, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So that's the fact. The command then that comes with a warning is this: stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So I ask myself, and in turn, I ask you this morning, are you a slave or are you free spiritually? But I don't want to be too much in of a hurry to answer that question, because we're going to get at that question through asking ourselves three other questions. And based on the answers to those three other questions, it's going to be kind of a test by which it answers for us whether we are slaves or whether we are free. This would be a good time, if you haven't already, to take out your outlines just to kind of help you follow along. They're provided for you in the bulletin that you received on your way in. The first question, the first of the three big questions is, do I have faith in Christ? Well, why do I ask this question to start off with? It's because of Galatians 3, verse 22 through 23, that reads this way. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. But this faith came, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. Did you catch that? The whole world is a prisoner of sin. You get the picture by this verse. Imagine this, that you are bound and you are in a prison cell. You're locked up. You're not free to do anything because you're confined by this cell. There is the master or the warden who is keeping you locked up has a name, and that name is sin. This is how the Scriptures describe the whole world, that we are, the whole world, prisoners of sin. And we are all in the same boat here. We're all in bondage. We are all slaves to sin. But in this verse, there's the promise of freedom. It says, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believed. So what was promised? Well, if you turn to Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9, we'll read that together. it's the promise that was given to Abraham and that we have received as well. Galatians 3, 6 through 9 says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So there was a promise given to Abraham, one that God would bless Abraham, which he did. And the second half of the promise was that through Abraham, all of the nations would be blessed. That is the promise of the gospel. It's the promise of Christ coming into this world to be able to set free any who chooses to believe. So what is the avenue of blessing? The avenue is the promise of Christ and the reality of what Christ did when he came to this world to die on the cross, to take sin upon himself that we might be freed from sin. And what is the thing that brings this blessing? It's faith in Christ. So my first question, do I have faith in Christ, is the first question to determine whether or not I am free or whether I am a slave. Maybe you could take the moment and on your outline, right under there, there's a place provided to answer that question. And this is a personal answer, so don't worry about your neighbor. You can keep your eyes on your own sheet. Don't copy, but just for you to ask the question, do I have faith in Christ? Because it's faith in Jesus that is what brings the freedom from the bondage of sin that Galatians told us the whole world is under. And so you can just write a yes or you can write a no on that sheet of paper. And this is only for yourself. It's personal questions that we can ask to find out, am I living the freedom that God has intended for me? Some slaves who live their whole lives as slaves and they never know any different might not understand how wonderful freedom is until they have experienced it. And I think the same could be true for those of us who may have lived their whole life in spiritual bondage. They have never known what freedom in Christ feels like and looks like. And so these are questions that we want to ask honestly and seriously to be able to break free from spiritual slavery. So if your answer is no, I don't have faith in Christ, or I never have, what can I do? The liberating remedy here is simply to believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he is the Son of God, like the scriptures reveal. Believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that we, for all who believe, they should have everlasting life. And Jesus says, you will be set free. God will give you freedom from sin. Well, this takes us to our second big question, which is this. Do I have a list of rules I follow to become more acceptable to Christ? Question number two. Do I have a list of rules? And these are questions that came straight out of Galatians as I studied the book this week. Do I have a list of rules I follow to become more acceptable to Christ? This is the issue with the Galatians. Okay, so the Galatian church, to the first question I ask, they would answer, well, yeah, I have faith in Christ. Paul came, he presented the message, they believed, they were set free, and yes, they have faith in Christ. But to this question, they would also have to answer yes, because they were imposing a list of rules that's come from the law by which they would become, or trying to gain acceptance from Christ. And really from each other as well. So what is the law? Okay, the Galatians were trying to follow it. Well, the law was what God gave to his people back in Exodus, you know, hundreds of years ago. And so the law isn't a bad thing. It was actually a good thing. The law was designed to give to people that God loved so that they might know how to live and what to do. Yet, what was happening in Galatians was that the Christians there were trying to find acceptance from God. They were trying to find righteousness through the law. And that somehow if they followed the law, they would become acceptable to God. Well, Paul hits this argument against this time and time again very strongly. One of those verses is Galatians 2, verse 21. We can look at that together. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And if you just go a few verses down from that statement in Galatians 2:21, you read Galatians 3:10 and 11, which says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. This is a quote here from Deuteronomy 27:26, says that if you fall short of the law, then you're cursed. So Paul's saying no one can be justified, no one can be made righteous through the law, because we could never follow it. None of us could ever be good enough to be held to the standard that the law brings about. The only thing, if we're following the law, that we can do is be condemned because we've fallen short of it. So do I have a list of rules that I follow to become more acceptable to Christ? It's in our nature to make up rules and to try to follow those so that we can feel good about ourselves, isn't it? So let me just ask this question. What are some rules, and this is an interactive question, I want to hear back from you. What are some rules that we make up to follow to become more acceptable to Christ as a church? What are, and maybe not just our church, but just Christians in general, what are some rules that we make up to follow to become more acceptable to Christ? Don't chew gum in church. Don't chew, yeah. That's a new one, and you're breaking it, but that's okay. Can anyone think, has anyone ever made up a list of rules? I know I have. So I can just give you mine if you want, but, you know. Don't drink. There you go. That was a big one. Don't smoke. No musical instruments. Yep. A lot of churches still follow that, and throughout history, that was a big point of debate. You know, it was a Gregorian chant with a single melody, then they added harmony, and everyone fell apart. And then they added instruments, and then that was, how can you worship with any instruments, you know, when all the organs were going and everything. It's kind of the same thing over and over throughout history. What are some other ones? Okay, dresses only for women, no slacks, yep. Good works? Yeah. Yep. Okay, you have to worship on Sunday, not on Saturday. There's a lot of rules that we come up with so that we can feel acceptable to Christ, or that we can look at someone else and say they are acceptable to Christ. Here was a few that I had on my list. Church attendance, that you're in church every week. And if you're not in church, when you're on vacation, you're at another church. Okay, church attendance, devotion times, that every day, you know, you'd spend, an hour reading the Bible and an hour in prayer. Or you look at some people throughout history who spent like 3 hours in the morning and you're like, man, aren't they spiritual? I want to do that, you know. Or giving amounts that you give a tithe and then more so. Or moral conduct. You know, those are some of the things we mentioned, about good works. Like you have to If I'm so moral, then I'll be acceptable. And I got to be honest with you. There was a time in my life where I very much lived my life this way. I thought, if I do these things, if I have consistent devotions, if I can live morally, if I can be in church every Sunday, then no one can look at me and say that I am unacceptable. And, you know, that I'm not walking as I should. And that Christ, you know, and that if other people thought that, if other people looked at me and thought, wow, he's doing a good job, then maybe Christ would feel the same way. Have you ever fallen for that? Maybe you're living like that right now, where you have this list of things that you've made up that you think, if I do these things, then I will be acceptable to other people and I'll be acceptable to God. But listen, when you bind yourself to that list, you bind yourself to something other than Christ. You introduce a spiritual bondage that was basically what the Galatians were doing when they said that you have to be circumcised. It's Christ plus circumcision. Or Christ plus these things. But he says, no, it is Christ, period. So what are the consequences of living by a list of rules? Well, Paul mentions them here. If Galatians 5, our key verse there, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then that you do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And he goes on, verse 2, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if any of you let yourselves be circumcised, this is putting themselves under the law, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Paul says, first consequence, if you walk down that road of trying to fulfill a list, trying to measure up to the law, Christ will have no value at all. Second consequence comes out of verse 3. Again, I declare to you, or to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. So if you go down that path, we will have to keep the whole law. He goes on, verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Another consequence, number 3, you will be alienated from Christ. And the fourth one comes out of that same verse, that we will abandon the way of grace. It says, you have fallen away from grace. So what are the consequences of trying to live by a list of rules to gain acceptance by God? Well, you re-enslave yourself again to slavery. And the consequences, Christ will have no value. We will have to keep the whole law. You will be alienated from Christ, and we will abandon the way of grace. So this is a serious matter. This is a serious thing that Paul is getting at. It's God's grace because of his Son that is what presents me acceptable to Christ. It's not because I'm able to follow a list of rules. So let's ask ourselves this question. Do I have a list of rules that I follow to become acceptable to Christ? And think about it also, do I have a list of rules I follow to gain acceptance from other people? And on your sheet, you can write a yes or a no based on what is true in your life. If you say no, well, then you're on the right track of being free in Christ. If you say yes, then you're placing yourself in bondage and you're a slave to that list. So what is the liberating remedy? If you are currently living by a list, tear up the list. Tear up the list. Let go of anything that you are trying to gain acceptance to God, and find your acceptance only through Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the grace that he offers based on your faith in him. Well, the sermon can't end there, because there's one more question and there's more to say. The third big question is, am I living by the Spirit? Am I living by the Spirit? This is the progress of Paul's argument after he goes through all these things. In chapter 5, you turn the page and he starts talking about living by the Spirit. So we want to read chapter 5, verse 13 here, where Paul says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not let your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." We have been set free for a purpose, that we might express our faith through love. Our freedom is not permission to do whatever we want. You can't say, well, I'm free in Christ, and I've been forgiven, therefore I will live like I want to. Because all that does is it introduces a new spiritual slavery in your life. Galatians, if you just read down a little further, I'm going to read the passage, chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Did you all get that? There's the way of walking in the Spirit, and there's the way of gratifying our own sinful desires. And the two paths are contrary to each other. You can't say, well, I'm walking in the Spirit, and yet go and gratify your own sinful desires. We have a choice to make. We can either walk in the Spirit, or we can choose to do what we want outside of the Spirit's leading. I'll continue on here with the passage, verse 19. "The acts of the sinful nature, what are they? Well, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So the two paths to walk here are obvious, by the Spirit or in our own sinful desires. We can't do both. We have to choose. And so the question, am I walking by the Spirit? We can answer that question by looking at our own lives. Well, is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are those evident in my life? Or am I following the paths of sinful desires? And as we examine our own life and just, you know, think about your days and your weeks and what you do, how you spend your time, how you react, do we have, anger that's characteristic of our lives? How about selfish ambition? Is our life desired by to try to get ahead in the world? And we care more about getting ahead than we do about love or patience or joy. Do we have hatred for somebody? You know, impurity, envy. Or, you know, so what's a part of your life? A self-examine of our life answers the question, are we walking by the Spirit? So you can, again, on your outline, there's a place to answer. Again, asking the question, am I walking in the Spirit? If your answer is yes, then you're living out the freedom that Christ had intended for you and the freedom that he died for. If your answer is no, then you have re-enslaved yourself to sin. And you are no longer free. That's the warning of Galatians 5:1. Just before we read that again, what's the liberating remedy? Say, no, I'm not. If your answer is no, I'm not walking by the Spirit. Well, the liberating remedy is start. Start walking by the Spirit. It sounds obvious or easy, but it's a choice. I mean, it's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to, which direction are we going to go? Are we going to walk by the Spirit, or are we going to walk in our own ways? Turn to God and to each other for help, and let the Spirit's voice guide us to walk in his ways. So Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. There's the fact, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ died so that you may live free lives, spiritually. And the command with a warning is, don't let yourselves be burdened. Stand firm. Don't let yourselves be re-enslaved to sin and to a yoke of slavery. How big of a deal is freedom? Well, Christ gave his life that we might be set free from sin. Our spiritual freedom is worth fighting for. It's worth dying for. And yet some are content to live a life of slavery. So am I a slave or am I free? Well, ask those three questions in your life and think about those three questions, and maybe one of them stuck out to you, and be set free. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for your great love for us, that you would go to any lengths, and you went to all lengths, that we might live in freedom and live in relationship with you for all eternity. God, and I pray for each of us this morning that... For any of us that may be in bondage, in spiritual bondage, a slave in some form, Lord, I pray that you would release us from that, Father, and also that we might see the world through your eyes, Lord, that we might see our friends and our family. They don't even realize that there is any other way of living. They don't even realize that there is a slavery that has occupied their lives. Yet your desire for them is so good and so loving, and that you want to set them free. I pray that you would help us as a people be people of freedom, people who help others find freedom, and freedom and life in your Son through faith and believing. Lord, we thank you again for this weekend and for everything it represents. And just we love you for all the love you've shown us. I pray this in your name.